And I'm going to welcome you to the podcast for this week, the week of Christmas 2024. On the podcast today, we're going to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter number 2. Deuteronomy is a special book, has a special place in my heart. And we're going to be in Deuteronomy 2 today, studying more about the history of Ammon. Deuteronomy chapter number 2. We've got quite a bit of scripture to read today, and it's all important. Deuteronomy 2, verse number 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. And command thou the people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, Distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many, and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emims. The Horims also dwell in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, said I, and get ye over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea, until we were come over the brook Zered, was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them, to destroy them from among the host, until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumims, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. As he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Aza, the Kaphtorims, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth and of Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet, as the children of Esau which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee, begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, and even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Verse 37. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. Okay, now we're going to find another incident of history telling in our next chapter talking about the Ammonites, but that's for next week. We see here in the book of Deuteronomy that God forbade them from going into Ammon. They were not allowed. Now we saw last week about how Moab and Ben-Ammi, are the father of children of Ammon, were conceived and were born. They were raised up by their father Lot and by his daughters, and they became mighty nations. Now, Moab and Ammon are not very large. Moab was only like 60 miles north to south and 20 miles east to west. Not very long. About, you know, the size of Henderson, Buncombe, and Madison counties put together, maybe. About that way, about that much, maybe. So it's not a very big sized place. Ammon is about the same. They're both desolate areas. But that's the land God gave them. And make it clear, God gave them that land. God also gave Esau his land in Mount Seir. And he told Moses, you cannot have even a foot breadth of it. You cannot have 1 inch of it, basically. It's not yours, it's theirs. I will not let you do that. The children of Esau, that is the Edomites, later the Idumeans, the people that Herod the Great came from, kindred to Israel, brother to Israel, Esau being the brother of Jacob. And then Moab and Ben-Ammi being the cousin. Let's see, Lot was Abraham's nephew, so that would make Lot and Isaac first cousins. And it would make Jacob and Moab and Ben-Ammi second cousins. It's the way that works. So that's the relationship there. They're pretty close kin. And they're kindred. And because it's Lot, because of Lot, because of Abraham, God gave them land. And likewise, he gave Abraham's other children, Ishmael, got land wandering around. Midian and some of the others, there's a bunch of them, they got land. But God had a land for Israel, specifically for Israel. It's even referenced in here. But I find it interesting, the names of these giants. You've got the Anakims, and then you got the Emims, and then you got the Zamzumims, and the Horims, and the Aviams, and the Kephtoriams. A bunch of M's. Those are the giants of the land. The land of giants, that whole area. And Esau conquered the area of Mount Seir, which is named after one of the children of Hor, H-O-R, Hor, one of the Horims. And Ammon, Moab, they conquered their areas, and they started growing, and they became nations. And they were nations in their own right. Now, it hadn't been very long. Israel was a great nation now. And, of course, it had been four generations for Israel from the time they left Canaan, going down to Goshen and coming back up. They came up in the fourth generation. That's what was prophesied to Abraham. And you can actually see that in the list of the ones who went down. You have the children of Levi. That's includes Kohath. And Kohath begat Amram. And Amram begat Moses and Aaron and Miriam. That's how many generations. Moses is the fourth generation afterwards. I count them out. Levi, Kohath, Amram, Moses. And so Levi, Kohath, Amram, Moses. And that's from Jacob down. So in the fourth generation. Now Kohath went down, and his grandson Moses led them back up. Now Moses was an old man when he led them back up. He was a really old man when they came into the land of Canaan, or close to the land of Canaan. 120 years old. He had seen a lot. He had seen a lot. And so the Moabites and the Ammonites have also had that many generations, at least. There could have been more, depending on how long lived some of them were. But like, for instance, the children of Ephraim, there's a bunch of generations from Ephraim down to Joshua, the son of Nun, a bunch of generations. Ephraim did not, they had very close spaced generations compared to the rest of them. The rest of the tribes that are mentioned, that we have a full generational lineage through the Exodus, all have four generations. You can count it out. That all is found in the book of First Chronicles. First Chronicles contains all of that information, and it fulfills the prophecy made to Abraham in Genesis that says in the fourth generation, after they go down, they'll come back out. And you just have to be very careful counting the numbers and counting the years so that you don't do violence to the Scripture, so that you don't... You know, Scripture has to be compared Scripture to Scripture, and the Scripture makes it clear about the length of time between the time Abraham was given the covenant and the time that God gave the law. That is found in Galatians chapter number 3, 430 years between Abraham as Abram being given the covenant and giving of the law. The way the Scripture reads in Galatians 3. I encourage you to look that up. And that should always be taken as the framework from around this whole period of time. That number gives us the framework for everything. And all Scripture has to harmonize. And so you have to harmonize the rest of the Scriptures. The Scripture in Exodus 12 and verse 40, for instance, harmonizes with that, the sojournings of the children of Israel, which were in Egypt, were 430 years. The sojournings were 430 years, and it's the children of Israel that was in Egypt. It does not say how long they were in Egypt, although Egypt at the time of Abram included Canaan. So anyway, a little bit of detail there. The point being, Moab and Ammon have had just as many generations. They've multiplied, just not quite as much. There's a bunch of them, but not quite as many. And they're afraid. They're afraid of this great multitude of Israelites coming in. To the point to where the Moabites, King Balak, he hires a false prophet, Balaam. And Balaam comes and he, well, that's an interesting story found there in the book of Numbers. But I find it very interesting that they did not harm, they did not meddle. I love that wording. The Bible says, do not meddle. M-E-D-D-L-E, meddle. Do not meddle with them. Do not battle with them. They're not your enemies. The Sihon, the king of the Amorites in Heshbon, he's your enemy. And then Og, the king of Bashan, he's your enemy. But the Moabites and the Ammonites, I've given them that land. I've given the land of Ar to the children of Lot, and that's my gift to them. I have given that to them for a possession. Now, later on, just like with Israel, later on, the Lord has some words with Moab and with Ammon about their idolatry and about how things are going to go and about how things are going to happen to them in the latter days. And in fact, there are no Moabites. The land of Moab is now part of Jordan. The land of Ammon, in fact, the capital city of Ammon, Rabbah, is now the capital of Jordan, Ammon. In fact, Ammon has a more than close resemblance to the name Ammon. And that's just, I don't think it's coincidence. It's the same city. It's by the same river. It's the same place. And this is the place where David was going to send Joab to battle. In just another chapter in the book of 2 Samuel. But why is he battling them? The Lord had told Moses, do not meddle with them. You're not going to get their land for a possession. Do not meddle with them. David is going against what God told Moses to do, or rather God told Moses to not do. And that is to battle against Ammon and Moab. He says, don't bother them. Don't mess with them. Don't battle them. They have their land. I gave them that land. I gave them that land just as much as I gave the land of Canaan to you. Across Jordan. That land belongs to Moab and to Ammon. The land of Ar. Now, it seems a little bit odd, don't it? It seems odd that God would make a place for them. But it was because of Lot. It was because of Lot. He even calls them the children of Lot. I've given the land of Ar to the children of Lot. Hey, when God gives, who are we to question it? What's David doing? Battling them. What is David after? Is David wanting the land, or is he just wanting to defeat them and leave the land desolate? It's counted as a possession of Israel at that point, really. And, you know, I don't think David is in God's perfect will here. I honestly don't think David is in the perfect will of God doing this. God lets him do it, but him doing that is why the army was away and he was at home doing nothing. Should he have fought Ammon? The question becomes, are there other enemies to fight? The Syrians? He fought. But only as part of the children of Ammon. Of course, then he fights the Syrians again. He's constantly dealing with the Syrians. And he defeats them, expanding to the north. But see, the land of Ar, God gave to Ammon and Moab. That was God's gift to them. That was God's intent for them. God did not intend Israel to own that land. God did not intend Israel to possess it. And God told Moses, and Moses in Deuteronomy here, I love the book of Deuteronomy. We really see the heart of God through the heart of Moses. Moses is delivering a sermon. He's delivering a message. He's preaching to these people. And he's telling them again. That's what Deuteronomy means. Second law. It's not a new law. It's the old law told again and told afresh to a new generation that hasn't heard it before. Deuteronomy is a wonderful book. And it reads really, really well. You say, well, I get down into it and it's talking about all this, that, and the other thing in terms of law, in terms of rules and regulations. Yeah, there's a few passages that are like that. But when our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, all three scripture quotes from him come from Deuteronomy. All three of them. The Lord loved the book of Deuteronomy. It's a message. It's script. It's a sermon, and it's scripture. And God pours his heart out through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. And he makes it plain that Israel is to not bother Moab and Ammon. During the time of Moses, yes. But does God ever rescind that? We'll have to find out at a future time. Because there does come a time where Ammon is going to have to be fought. And we're going to look at that time. That time is in the book of Judges. And the judge's name is Jephthah. And we're going to find out some more about the times and the situation with the Ammonites when we get there. And Jephthah is going to give the Ammonite king a history lesson. And it is something else to read. That history lesson is a history lesson among history lessons. It's very similar to Stephen's message in the book of Acts, where Stephen, before he's stoned by the people, he is given a message. And he gives that message, and it's a humongous history lesson. Superb history lesson. Jephthah is going to do the same thing to the king of Ammon. And the Lord willing, we'll be in the book of Judges next week to look at that particular passage of scripture and to see how that history lines up and to see what's going on with Ammon between the time of Deuteronomy and the time of the Judges. All right. Again, this is Christmas week. Christmas is this coming Wednesday. I hope each and every one under the sound of my voice remembers the Christ in Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. I know that sounds a little trite, and it sounds a little cliched, but it is the truth. With no Christ, there is no Christmas. Yeah, there was a festival before that the Romans did, the Saturnalia. I know that. There's other things. Hanukkah this year also starts on December 25th. And it's an interesting study, the study of Hanukkah. But remember the Christ of Christmas, because that's why we have it. All right. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And we'll see you here again next time on the I Want to Know More podcast.